Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on live on the radio from 1 till 4. After 4 o'clock, you can hear the show on the app. John and Ken on Demand is the name of it. So anything you miss, you can make up later on. But we're ready to go now.
We do. We have a real lot in store for you today, including an interview next hour with a man who's been on our show a number of times, Michael Rutherford from the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation.
Always been bad news when he comes on.
It is. It's quite a proposed bill in Sacramento, but it proves something that I have said for years on the John and Ken Show. Eventually, there will not be life in prison without parole. It will not exist. There'll always be a way out, even for the worst of the killers. And here it comes. We have a bill that may just do that.
Yes. Not only no more death penalty, no more life without parole. Everybody gets out. And this is the incremental approach that we've talked about many times. And over the last 13 years now, every year, another bill and another bill and another bill, and every one of them dump more prisoners out earlier and earlier, or they don't prosecute them to begin with.
Yep, and they fake you out. They say things like, well, you know, we're going to put a hold on the death penalty. That's archaic. We're done with that. But don't worry. Murderers will get life without parole. They'll never get out of prison. And I knew they were lying.
They were lying.
And I knew, as John said, incrementally, they would chip away at that. And now we've got a bill that wants to do just that. And even worse, we're talking about 20 years should be enough for a murderer.
20 years.
That's what they're thinking. 20 years?
Wow.
And they go, I heard, I think Gascon, he either said 15 or 20 years. He said the same thing, George Gascon, the other county DA, that's enough time.
Yeah, I'm
for
sure.
For like anything.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've heard him say that. Yeah. So this is part of...
I don't know
of,
where they come up with this magic number, but they think that should be the maximum prison time.
Oh, they just
for
make
the
it
worst
up.
Of crimes.
They don't... This is not even the end of it. Eventually...
No, eventually it'll be 5 years or two.
Or there would be no prisons. None, there'll be no jails. None. There'll be no prosecutions anymore until we're all dead. Until all the bad guys kill all the good people.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is a larger plot. This is not happening randomly. If you wanted to destroy a successful society, what would you do differently than what they're doing? What would you do differently? If you had a plot to undermine a peaceful, successful, wealthy, civilized society, what would you do differently?
Damn.
They're after the destruction of our way of living. And they're getting it because no one's paying attention. And they have done it brilliantly with these incremental, bite-sized changes that add up to massive radical revolution after 13 years.
Here's a peek at some of their crazy thinking in a local L.A. City Council story worth a few minutes on. They passed yesterday, 8-4, an ordinance allowing police to arrest anyone who has a catalytic converter that is not connected to a vehicle and does not produce a receipt or other identifying information, like a document from an auto repair shop, showing the ownership. Councilman John Lee, he's the one that replaced Mitch Englander from the Valley, supported the ordinance and thinks it'll help LAPD get a grip on all the catalytic converter thefts.
Because it is very difficult to catch them in the act. And if you don't catch them in the act, then what kind of crime are you going to charge them with? You pull them over and they say, well, this is my catalytic converter. I just bought a new one, or I just bought a used one. I'm replacing it. And you can't put them away. So now you have to prove immediately that you bought this.
So the peak I'm talking about comes from the four people who voted no. Heather Hutt, she's Mark Ridley Thomas's replacement. Nithya Raman, oh boy. Marquise Harris-Dawson and Eunice Hernandez voted against the measure. One of them said, no, there's already laws on the books for catalytic converter theft. But the one that said the most, Eunice Hernandez, says, and this is the quote that really sticks in my head. Well, a criminal conviction and jail time can damage someone's life forever, leading to collateral consequences like the inability to obtain jobs, to rent apartments, and get a loan. This puts people in the revolving door of desperation and recidivism. Right there. Take that quote. That explains everything that's going on in the madness of the world of not sending anybody to jail or prison, because they believe it ruins their life and they'll never get out of it. So, therefore, we don't punish anybody ever. This even explains this idea with the murderers, probably. Let's reduce their sentences.
Well, it's an invented concept, because there are plenty of people who commit early crimes in their life and they come back from it. You just can't keep committing crimes. And when you don't have consequences, for example, stealing a catalytic converter, you will commit more crimes. Anybody with a 2-year-old knows this.
Right.
The more you allow, the more bad behavior you'll get. So she's wrong. They all have reasoning. The first time you hear the reasoning, it's, I guess I understand that. No.
This is what we have to stop. This is what we have to turn around, because this explains it.
Well,
this is their thinking. Well, I don't want to ruin somebody's life just because they committed a crime.
Their thinking is they want no one in jail. And they come up with a whole wide range of excuses as to why people shouldn't be in jail. If it wasn't this reason, it would have been another reason. Okay, they use the race card as well, saying, well, there's a disproportionate amount of, oh, stop it. Okay, maybe there's a disproportionate amount of a certain demographic that's actually stealing the catalytic converters. You get thrown in jail because you stole the converter, not because of the color of your skin or your ethnicity.
Now, another peek in this story at this decrepit ideology comes from another reference. Eunice Hernandez and council member Hugo Soto Martinez, the guy that took the fence down. Oh, have we checked on Echo Park Lake to see if the vagrants are back yet? We ought to get an update.
Yeah, I know. It's too much stuff.
And when you hear this, think about what was happening a couple of years ago when we had these people who were being stopped in the street and their watches and phones were being stolen from them. And they were telling us, be careful, don't be out there driving a flashy car or have a lot of flashy jewelry showing. Their idea for catalytic converter theft is to help you get an anti-theft device, some sort of a cage.
To
protect your catalytic converter.
Okay. Yeah.
In other words, you have to be preventative. We can't go after the bad guys.
Okay. So these two, they're on the watch list here, because this is Eunice Hernandez and Hugo Soto Martinez.
Yeah, they're the Socialist Democrats.
The Socialist Democrats. So the issue is not putting people in jail who steal the catalytic converters. The issue is you having to install a cage to isolate the catalytic converter. It's your fault for not putting a security cage underneath your car.
Did you see what Marquise Harris-Dawson said? When somebody gets something stolen, the city should do everything we can to make sure they're made whole, not to punish another person. Holy mackerel.
That defies any kind of civil logic.
That's what he said. It's in print here in the Times.
He is crazy.
So the city has to go and replace your catalytic converter, but we're not going to put anybody or punish anybody for stealing it from you.
The city buys the converter. We have to buy a cage to protect it. And the guy who stole it can go on to commit more crimes.
Yeah, because he's got a tough life and he had to do it.
He doesn't have a tough life. He sold the catalytic converter and got paid for it. So he can steal 10 of them, 100 of them.
Oh, it's because he's desperate and poor.
He's racist. He's making money. And these people, I've got this racial scam going where they're pushing that every crime be wiped off the books because a disproportionate number of people in a certain race is accused of it.
That's right. Society's unjust, so we can't punish anybody.
That's insane. And everybody's timid and afraid. Well, that's really wrong, but I don't want to say anything because then they might call me racist. Holy mackerel. Don't you see what's happening here? These people are crazy. And by the way, they know better. They're not as stupid as they sound. They know better. They're trying to destroy the whole system. And they're frightening people with racial accusations. They're coming up with all sorts of childish excuses. Like your little kid wouldn't come up with the excuses that this crowd's coming up with. But it all is to confuse you, emotionally manipulate you, kind of disorient you, right? You can't even keep track of all. They throw out so many different excuses and justifications. It's like you don't know where to go next.
All right. When we return, you're going to have a shot at some money. That's right. The KFI Inflation Compensation Contest returns and has been back here for a couple of weeks. You get a keyword, follow the instructions. You could win money. And then after that, really what is my favorite story of the day? It's not like the most important story of the day, but it is my favorite. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, day after tomorrow, the Moist Line will be back on the John and Ken Show. Raring to go will be our Moist Line callers. If you want to be one of them, leave a message. Use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, to leave a message there, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Oh, and another note, I've been told you should follow the app. I don't know what that means, but we've been told to say that.
Well, then follow it.
Or like stalking it, literally
walking around the street behind it? You might see it down the street. No, you follow it. I don't know. Do you get notifications if you follow?
Yeah, it's like any other social media app. Follow KFI on the iHeart app, and then you'll get notifications when there's breaking news.
Ah, well, thank you.
There we go. There's our technical director, Eric Sklar, with the details on that. You can always go to him for two things, stuff like that and sports.
Yeah.
Because he's the Duke of sports.
All right. Well, two areas of expertise is better than nothing. Most people have nothing.
Eric, will the Lakers go all the way?
I am cautiously optimistic. I think they'll make it out of the first round.
All right. There you go. See? Boom. You ask a sports question and boom, there's an answer. And it doesn't matter what sport. It could be anything. This odd development, I think it's odd, in the Kentucky shooting at the bank in Louisville, they're auctioning off the gunman's rifle.
Already?
Yeah, it's Kentucky law. I don't know if it's today, the auction, but that's what they're going to do.
Wow.
Yeah, the Kentucky State Police will conduct an auction and keep 20% of the proceeds from the sale. The rest of the money will go to the Kentucky Office of Homeland Security. So it doesn't go to the victim's families or anything? Yeah, it's kind of weird.
First I heard of this. I don't know.
Only licensed firearm dealers can bid on the firearm.
Uh-huh. So it goes back. It gets recycled.
Well, you're right.
So that somebody else could trigger a mass shooting.
Will this lead somebody really sick to want to get that thing just because it killed people? Or
if it's identified, you know. Sure. I mean, it may just become another generic rifle.
Well, they all have serial numbers. What if the serial number leaks out so you know you're getting the one that was used?
I suppose.
Because he bought this gun legally, so it's probably got a serial number.
I find that really fun. Yeah, I thought, well, don't they have to hold it for evidence? But he's dead, so there is no trial.
Yeah, there's no real
case
coming.
There's no room for evidence, and it's time to sell it, make money for the government there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why when I see these protests, we have to have gun control, blah, blah. That is an impossible dream. The cult, the gun culture is so much different than the people pumping their fists in the streets in outrage. You're not going to win because they have the guns and you don't. So they win.
Yeah, the Louisville mayor, Craig Greenberg, is frustrated. This means the murder weapon could be right back on the streets.
Isn't that great?
Under Kentucky's current laws. That's an odd law, but I never really thought about it before. Usually they melt them down or destroy them, I think.
I don't know.
It never occurred to me. I know. I never really thought about what they do with the weapon for the gunman. Because you're right. If he lives, they need it for evidence. But
right.
If he's dead and there's no trial coming, what do they do with the recovery?
Well, now we know what they do in Kentucky.
Now, my favorite story of the day. Like I said, not particularly important, but still great. As you know, there's a debate going on, particularly in California and Sacramento, and a big one in San Francisco, over reparations. This story, though, takes us to Ohio. And this is not a joke. Apparently, a woman at a Target store in Blue Ash, Ohio. Don't ask me where that is. It was a Target superstore. She apparently bought quite a bit of groceries, $1,000 worth, and then got into an argument with the store manager because she wanted it taken care of through reparations. Karen Ivory asked a cashier for the manager regarding the bill and reparations. The cashier said that she brought up reparations several times during their brief encounter before the manager arrived. When speaking with the manager, the customer first asked for reparations and grew angry and then walked aggressively toward the manager. She kept berating her about reparations and her privileged life. Well, things got a little ugly because, and I love the way they call them loss prevention officers, security guard.
Yeah.
Zach Cotter intervened, said, please calm down and leave the store. Well, she began screaming and she started following him to his office. And when he tried to shut the door, she allegedly forced her way in. So he threw a punch. And looks like
knocked
down
her to the
she
floor.
Went.
Yes. Yeah, down she goes.
Just like a knockout in a prize fight, right? Down she went.
And
this actually happened in October. They've released the video recently, and they've kind of resolved the whole matter.
And the woman demanding reparations, Karen Ivory, she was cited for disorderly conduct and went to jail and paid
$110.
Yeah, $110 fine.
I don't know that Target has a reparations policy, so therefore she's asking for something that doesn't exist. Unless I'm wrong with all the woke corporate stuff going on. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I know. There's a possibility you are.
Maybe there's a secret message. If a customer asks for reparations, yeah, be polite and give it to them.
$1,000 worth of groceries? You can't fit that into one grocery cart. That's about 5 grocery carts.
If you piled up liquor, and I'm not saying she did, but some groceries may be heavy.
Yeah, I want to know what you bought.
You buy steaks. How much is a big, hefty steak these days? It's of a higher end.
Well, that could go for, I don't know, like $40?
Yeah, it still would be a lot of stuff.
That's a lot
Maybe
of steaks.
Maybe she had several baskets. I don't know. That's what it says, $1,000. Yeah, I said the same thing, $1,000 worth of groceries.
And that's reparations.
Yeah.
Well.
So they decided she was the aggressor. The security guard was not punished because, in effect, it was self-defense. And that she tried to push her way in and would not leave.
In places like Ohio, like the Kentucky story, people don't put up with stuff. It's not like living in L.A. You get a distorted sense of reality living in Los Angeles. Out in Ohio.
You think
Ohio,
if somebody did this in a L.A. Target, what, they'd get the money or they'd get the...
I think the security guard would be hauled off.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, I think you're right.
The most shocking part of the story to me is that they put the woman in jail.
She was sentenced to a day in jail and charged $110 for disorderly conduct. Another favorite part of the story is she told the manager of the Target store, this is my Rosa Parks moment.
Uh-huh. Wow.
My $1,000 worth of free stuff from Target.
One of all the mental illnesses, delusional behavior is one of the most fascinating to me.
You can't make this up.
Somebody convinces themselves of something that is so absurd, but they're absolutely sure they're right.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if she had a sense of humor about it, then came home and said, it was worth a try, but she got so aggressive, she got punched.
You imagine?
That's like
walking
that,
in and thinking you could walk out with $1,000 worth of groceries because it's my reparations. Wow. How do you get to that point?
That's where we are. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, well, we had sort of predicted this for years, and now we're seeing a bill in Sacramento we'll talk about next hour with Michael Rushford from the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. This bill is going to be heard in the Senate Public Safety Committee to give the state's murderers, those who have been sentenced to death or life without the possibility of parole, they call it LWOP, the opportunity to have their sentences invalidated and make them eligible for release. It's hard to believe, but Senate Bill 94 is real. It was authored by State Senator Dave Cortese of Santa Clara. And it specifies that criminals convicted of murder with special circumstances before June 5th of 1990 and sentenced to death or life without parole could be provided with a public defender to petition for recall and resentencing. And we could be talking about some murderers getting out after only 20 years of prison time.
And do you know how many would be released immediately?
How many?
Oh, hundreds, maybe. Guys who've already put in their 20 years.
Yeah, because we don't actually execute people. There's a lot of people who committed murders before 1990 in prison. Yeah.
Guys who committed murders in their teens and 20s, and they're not that old. And now they spend 20 years in prison after killing somebody. That's going to be out there. What do you think's going to happen? These psychos are going to kill more people. Why wouldn't they?
All right, so we'll get into that. We knew that they would chip away and eventually end the concept of life without parole.
What would it take to get people to vote differently? I don't know anybody who wants this crap. I don't know the person who wants this. Who's the person who wants the murderers out after 20 years? Raise your hand. Identify yourself.
A big story we did yesterday was about the closing, they say temporarily, of a Whole Foods in San Francisco only a year after it opened. It's in the Tenderloin district of that city, which is particularly troubled with homeless and drug addicts.
Disastrous. Thousands of them.
So the update on the story comes from two sources. First of all, there is a supervisor for that district who actually got elected because he says there's safety issues. It's hard to believe, but, you know, they recalled the DA in San Francisco. There's a few people left who think that this is way out of control. His name is Matt Dorsey, supervisor for District 6, and he wants to amend the city charter so they can hire more police officers. It would mandate a minimum number of cops in the city. And, of course, the defund the police thing is still fresh in activist minds.
You know what?
You can imagine in a place like San Francisco, this might be a tough move.
Well, here's the reality, because he could pass his amendment all he wants.
No, it goes to the voters.
But they're 500 cops short, and the recruiting classes are 8-10 applicants. That nobody wants to be a cop, and the old cops are quitting or retiring in record numbers, not just in San Francisco, but all over the country, because they're demonized. They feel like they're going to be set up to get indicted themselves, and they just simply don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, morale is really low.
Well, they don't. They figure that if they're involved in a bad situation where they have to shoot somebody, they'll end up going to jail for it. Or they'll hold back and die. So they don't want to do it. What's the point here? How do you want? Do you really want to spend your days being called to crime scene after crime scene, incident after incident, and then you have to tell everybody, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. They've tied our hands. They won't let us do that.
Well, the other part of that story is contained in an interview that Fox News did with a former San Francisco prosecutor named Charles Cully Stimson. He's now a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. But he was trying to respond to what we talked about yesterday. The El Segundo Times and other media outlets are printing all these San Francisco crime statistics, which they say belie the belief that the city is a violent place, particularly after the stabbing of that tech executive, Bob Lee. And he says what we've been saying. People do not report a lot of the crimes because you have a DA who's pro-criminal, not going to enforce the law. The cops aren't going to go out and arrest somebody when they know the case is going to be what they call no-papered, which means it's just not going to be processed. And what he did in this interview, he went beyond the current DA, but the DA before that, of course, was Chesa Boudin. But he went back and talked about what got unraveled because George Gascon was their DA. George Gascon was the DA in San Francisco from January 2011 till October of 2019 until we got stuck with them in the vote in 2020. And he says he started things. If you go back before Gascon, you see really relatively low crime rates. But once Gascon took over, and he cites FBI data, when Gascon took office in 2011, 757 reported rapes, an average of 151 per year. His last 5 years, the city had 1,731 reported rapes, or 346 per year.
So the rape frequency doubled from the 5 years before Gascon to Gascon's last 5 years. The number of rapes doubled. And this is what we always try to point out. You can't compare crime rates to last year or 2 years ago. Go back 10 years. Because what happens is a policy like Gascon's, over time, it takes time, but eventually there are more bad guys, right? Their sentences end early. They're not prosecuted, or their sentences are shorter. So eventually there's a critical mass of bad guys walking around, and it takes a few years to build up. But once it builds up, now you have a significantly higher rate. So it doesn't matter if there's two less rapes this year than that year, like two less rapes in 2023 than 2022. What matters is it's double the number of rapes from 10 years ago.
Yeah, he pointed out aggravated assaults. 5 years before Gascon, there was 11,921, about 2,400 a year. The last 5 years of Gascon's term jumped to 13,000 or 2,600 per year.
Yeah, and so what the LA Times does and San Francisco Chronicle and many news agencies do, they're run by woke people. They're run by young woke people who got infected with the only virus that's worse than COVID. And it's the woke virus. And it's like an amoeba that eats at their brains. Yeah. And they're engaging in very selective statistical manipulation to try to shut everybody up. And they know that the comeback is going to be complicated. How many numbers did we just have to spew at you? Do you remember any of them? No. Let me just tell you. The shorthand version of this, the rapes in San Francisco are double every year than they were 10 years ago. From pre-Gascon to post-Gascon. 10 years. Wow. Double of rapes. That's what you got to know. But you try to fight them with numbers the way they fight you with numbers, and you end up with a big soup of numbers that nobody can follow. And that's what they want to do. You'll walk away saying, oh, I guess the crime isn't that bad. Maybe it's just the media hyping it, which we all agree happens a lot, right? We all think the media hypes bad news, selectively covers things just to scare us. That does go on. But if you spend a little time looking into the details of the numbers, it's like, no, it is much worse in San Francisco than it was 10 years ago.
But as we pointed out yesterday, if you allow just the quality of life to degrade, any violent crime is going to get exaggerated by people because they're like, see, that's what happens when you allow things to get this bad. When you allow so many drug addicts on the street and homeless people staggering around, sure, most of them aren't going to beat you in the head and rob you. But when it does happen, it gets amplified because that's the environment you live in.
And if you allow
that, it's the opposite of people who say, that never happens in this neighborhood. A shooting? Oh, my God. We've never had that. This is such a great neighborhood. San Francisco's the opposite now. Everybody's expecting this crap because of how far it's dropped.
If you let thousands of homeless people wander around and they're whacked out on drugs or they've got severe mental illnesses, every one of those guys has a sex drive. These people aren't dating. They're not asking girls out. They are sexually assaulting and raping when they get the urge. What do you think goes on? A lot of these are young guys. They're in their 20s and 30s. What do you think when they get the urge they're going to do? They're going to jump a woman and violate her violently. That's what they're going to do. That's almost never considered and discussed. That's why the rapes are up, because you have all these unhinged men who no longer have a place to take their desires because they're uncivilized. They can't develop a normal human relationship and have a normal sexual relationship. So they're just going to savagely attack people like wild animals.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Did you see the Katie Porter story?
I saw a headline about something with her marriage.
It is great.
Some problems with her marriage. I don't know anything about her marriage.
Her
John's talking about a congresswoman from Orange County.
Who is the one of the leading candidates to replace Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, what did I refer to as? She's just a load.
Well,
she's a progressive load.
She's worse than a load. Listen to this. They dug up her divorce papers, and her ex-husband, Matthew Hoffman, said in court filings about a decade ago that Katie Porter once smashed a glass coffee pot on the counter because she didn't think their house was clean enough. He accused her of dumping a bowl of steaming mashed potatoes on his head, burning his scalp. She accused him of being an effing idiot and effing incompetent. She wouldn't let me have a cell phone because she said you're too effing dumb to operate it. And she would throw toys, books, and other objects around when she was angry. She would claw and scratch her arms and say to me, look what you made me do. But dumping mashed potatoes on his head.
This sounds toxic. How long ago did they get divorced?
It says about a decade ago.
Oh, it is a while ago. I mean, I'm not forgiving her, but it's a while ago.
Yeah, but it's
she was young and immature.
It was mashed potatoes on her head, on his head.
Wow.
She wasn't young and immature. She's almost 50.
I'm just there for fun.
Yeah, okay, good.
This comes out now? She's been in Congress for years. Why didn't somebody throw this out there when she was running the first time?
The Daily Mail dug up the divorce records.
Oh, the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Did you see the Daily Mail? I was going to do this later, but I'll just mention it right now because you and I would know better than rapidly growing homeless encampments spring up near L.A.'s celebrity-filled Beverly Hills neighborhood. Now, they're talking about tents near the Beverly Center. Is that really, or is that part of L.A.?
This is borderline here. This is
They're saying Beverly Grove, they're included. That's not Beverly Hills.
No, this is somebody who wrote this. Maybe they wrote this in London and they don't really know the layout because they say Santa Monica Boulevard is the dividing line between the hills, Beverly Hills, and nearby Beverly Grove, where there are clusters of tents. No,
The Beverly Grove neighborhood's awful. That's where that poor man was stabbed in his own backyard. A neighborhood of Los Angeles.
Santa Monica Boulevard is an east-west road.
Right.
The dividing line would be a north-south road. So this is incorrect.
The scenes were captured along San Vicente Boulevard near the upscale Beverly Center shopping mall, where celebrities shop, including Paris Hilton and Victoria Beckham. The way they write these stories is to really get people interested. Ooh, well, celebrities go there, and there's homeless people nearby.
Because this is the most widely read news site in the world.
I know, and I like to point out when they're inaccurate because sometimes they do exaggerate to get you to click. And we have told you, and we've repeated this, Beverly Hills doesn't tolerate this. I'm not saying there's nobody camped out in Beverly Hills homeless, but you don't see what you see in L.A. there.
We just drove through it the other night and along Santa Monica Boulevard specifically, and no, they don't have any homeless. This is likely in L.A. near the border, and Beverly Hills can't control it.
Yeah, this is the problem that Culver City's had, even though Culver City's had more problems since the city council changed there, but same thing. They border L.A., and you can see that it's right there near their property.
This is cheap clickbait because it says photos reveal tarps, shopping carts, mattresses, and loose bedding next to busy junctions and on the sidewalks of the wealthy suburbs. So it's next to it. Right. The San Vicente Boulevard is in Los Angeles. It's the other San Vicente Boulevard, not the one
in Brentwood. So they're trying to get people aghast that the homeless problem is growing and now it's going to take over wealthy Beverly Hills.
It's been in that section for years.
That's right. Right. But so, somebody just shot a picture. You're right. Some reporter from the UK.
It juices up the hits.
It does. Yeah, because look at this. In January, the affluent Sherman Oaks neighborhood, just north of Beverly Hills, would that be true, or is there kind of a... Wait. Made national headlines after three people died on its streets in just 1 week. And we do know about that. We talked about the three homeless people found dead in Sherman Oaks. But they're making it sound like this was another pleasant place that got taken over. But Sherman Oaks has had problems for years with...
Beverly Hills is surrounded by the city of Los Angeles, mostly, and it borders West Hollywood. So everything that happens in Los Angeles is going to be right next to Beverly Hills. because it's embedded inside L.A.
Yes. I mean, I'm on the lookout for this, too, even though I appreciate that there are media outlets that cover the problem as it really is. I also don't like to be taken. That's what I call this, being taken. Trying to be a dupe because you're into this topic and L.A. is degrading and it's homelessness and crime everywhere. Here's another example of this. Look, Beverly Hills is going downhill. And I don't like to be taken like
okay,
that.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse. I don't know if you heard this story. Jonathan Turley is an attorney and a law professor, and he's on Fox News a lot as a commentator. And he told this story, and I heard him tell it on the air on Fox, that there was some professor who wanted to do some kind of bit of research, and he was looking for how many attorneys have involved in sex harassment cases, like committed sex harassment. So he had an AI software program go look and see. And the AI thing made up an article. And what AI does is it scans the internet and grabs all kinds of information in a very rapid way. And it puts together an article for you. So it created an article about these attorneys it had found online who had committed sex harassment and inexplicably threw Jonathan Turley into the mix.
And that didn't sit well with him, I'm sure.
And it had these crimes he'd committed, and it included a source article from, I believe, the Washington Post. Like, they were using that as the original source, but they made up that article, too. So, like, the algorithm had gone haywire, and he's going to national TV and saying, no, there is no story in the Washington Post. No, I didn't do this. No. And then I hear that there's all these artificial intelligence fake photographs going around now. Apparently, there was one the other day. I didn't see this, but it was of the Pope wearing some kind of jacket, and it fooled everybody around the world.
Oh, and I didn't hear about that one.
I heard a guy on the Business Channel today, and he's got a company, and they want to try to fight this by coming up with some technology where you could tell if a photo or a news story is authentic, like if it comes really from a legitimate news source or it's a legitimate photograph.
Yeah.
I kind of put a watermark on it, right? A technological watermark on it. But in any event, there is going to be so much fake stuff now.
Oh, they call it the deep fake videos.
Yes.
Those apparently are pouring
right
out. Wasn't there one supposedly of Trump being perp walked
right
or something? Or
well, they've been around
for a fake mugshot of them, or
they've been around for a few years, but it used to take a lot of time to put them together, and they would come out crudely, you know, like crude Photoshop.
Yeah, you can tell something's
now
off.
It's something that you can do increasingly, almost instantly, and it's you can't tell the difference. It's flawless.
All right, when we come back.
So we are going to get fooled on some stories. I don't know what day, but there's some story we're going to get fooled on, and we're going to find out the next day it was an AI story.
We're going to talk about something called Senate Bill 94. It deals with people convicted of murder, and it gives them a fresh chance to get out of prison much quicker than they otherwise would. This kind of overturns the idea of a death sentence or even life without parole. We'll be talking next to Michael Rushford with the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We
have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.